This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
We all need the courage to rush to the aid of God's people when they are being ridiculed, abused, and persecuted for their faith. Again, the culture has infiltrated the church. We see someone getting fried, and even though they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, we don't want to touch it because we're afraid that the heat's going to get pointed then at us. And I don't want that. That'll disturb my life. And we're so selfish.
Much of Christianity is focused on the internal. How do I become more like Christ? What is that one sin in my life? Who should I share the gospel with? It's easy to forget that living as a Christian means you have a network of other believers to come alongside you and help you. In today's message, Pastor Bo teaches that when you see another brother or sister in Christ struggling, you should come to their aid, just as you hope that they would come to yours. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, "The way of the Lord disturbs people. Push to notify."
Push through all of the cultural norms, the things that have gotten now so in the way of the penetrating power of the gospel. We've got to push through that and remain faithful to what Scripture communicates. Deuteronomy 4:35 says, "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, that is Yahweh, is God. There is no other besides him." 2 Samuel 7:22, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard in our ears." Psalm 83, verse 18. "That they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth." Psalm 86, verse 10. "For you are great, and you do wondrous things." Don't miss the communication of the word of God, how it says it all the time. "You alone are God." Isaiah 43, 10 through 11. "You are my witnesses," the prophet Isaiah says, declares the Lord through him, "and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me," oh, Bo, come on, there's all these gods and people have all these different, "before me," God says, the God of the Bible, "before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be after me." Verse 11 of Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no, keyword, Savior. You see that? Here's the second thing that a truly converted person will do. He will deny all gods except God himself. He will deny all gods except the one true God. He'll say nope to all the others, and he'll say yes to the one. He repents, he's converted, and according to 1 Thessalonians 1:9, he turns to God from idols, it says in that verse, to serve the living and true God. That's very different than the dead gods filled with myths and all of that. So I also want to say to us this today, there's too many Demetriuses in the world. Too many Demetriuses in the world today. But what do you mean by that? Just too many greedy people who engage in evil practices, evil professions, professions that harm people, professions that degrade people. And the great need, I think, of the world today is for God's people. So for us, that's Trinity Church. The great need today is for God's people, people like us, to step forth as the Pauls of the world. To step up, to step out, and proclaim that people must turn to God from idols. Anything that they're devoted to other than Jesus Christ, turn from that and turn toward God. And in this case, there's something to be learned about turning away from evil professions, evil practices, things that people get caught up into that are evil, to turn away from that. Acts 3:19, if you're here today and this is fitting for you, this is God speaking right to your mind and right to your heart. Well, what do I do, sir? What do I do, mister up there with your Bible telling me how I ought to live? You need to repent. You need to repent and you need to turn back so that your sins might be blotted out. If you're someone here today and you're against God, you're anti-God, and but yet God's sort of ringing your bell a little bit, you're being a little disturbed, you know, by what I'm saying, the truth of God's word coming into your life, and it kind of, what should you do? You need to change the course that you're on and turn toward God and turn away from the sinful practices that you're participating in. Acts 8:22 says, repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart might be forgiven you. Acts 17:30 says that in the past, in times of ignorance, well, God overlooked those, but understand, everyone around the world, everyone in this moment, what is the command now? He commands all people everywhere to repent. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. If that's you, make the turn. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts start changing the way you're living, changing the way you're thinking by turning toward God's son, Jesus Christ. Let him return to the Lord. Why? That he may have compassion on him. You want to experience the compassion of God and to our God. And know this, when you make that turn, God's word is to you, he will abundantly pardon. I have people in my life that I wish and pray to God they would be willing to accept that truth in their life. They have so many sins stockpiled in the background of their life that they think that God can't abundantly pardon. God is the only one who can abundantly pardon. And so you have skeletons, you have garbage, you have all that stuff stacked up in the background of your life. Repent of it. Come to God with it. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. Call it what it is. It's sin. It's wickedness. It's foolishness. It's death. God, I'm sorry. I turn to you now. Set my life on a different course. Help me to obey your word. I want to move in a way now that is pleasing to you. And he will take all of that stuff on your back. And the Bible says he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. The point being, they never touch. They go and they're gone. Who wants to be free today in Christ? I want to be free in Christ. I am free in Christ. Are you? Are you in Christ, saved, all of your sins being dealt with by him, by God? I hope so. And that's why we're here to give you that opportunity as well. Ezekiel 18:21 says, but if a wicked person turns away from his sins that he has committed, all right, Bo, that's me. I'll be the wicked person. If you're being honest, if a wicked person turns, if that's you and you turn from all your sins that you've committed and you start saying, Lord, I want to obey your word. You keep his statutes. You do what's just and right. And just see it again there. He shall surely live. You will live. You will live. You will not die. And down deep, we're all afraid of death. And the gospel deals right to that, communicates right to that, and brings comfort. Brings actually not only comfort, the solution for death, and that is life, resurrection, that you will live forever with the Lord in his presence based upon what he's done for you if you believe in him. Now, not only did the way of the Lord disturb the greedy, these on-mission Christians in Ephesus were also falsely accused and attacked. Notice this in verses 27 through 29. There is danger not only that this trade of ours, Demetrius is going on, may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed of her magnificence. She whom all Asia and the world worship. Verse 28, when they heard this, they were enraged, all these people that were there, and they begin crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And so they're screaming, that out. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city, verse 29, was filled with confusion. And they rushed together into the theater and dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus into this theater. Those were Paul's ministry companions, Macedonians. So the way of the Lord at this point becomes falsely accused and attacked. What do I mean by that? Well, Demetrius charged Paul and these other Christians with being revolutionaries. Revolutionaries who were destroying the livelihood and the small businesses of these silversmiths in Ephesus, saying that they were destroying one of the leading businesses of the city, the Temple of Diana and Artemis, saying that they were destroying the tourist trade of Asia and the world. The parallel with evil businesses of every generation is clearly seen in the charges that are made against Christianity. The business may involve such evil as drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling. But whatever the business, jobs and livelihoods are at stake. And when they are, emotions are easily aroused. And that's what's happening here. Demetrius stirred the silversmiths to move about and to incite the entire city against Paul and against the believers there. They were able to actually catch two of Paul's companions, Gaius and Aristarchus, and drag them into the theater. Notice that this mob is enraged. How'd you like to be there that day? Here's something to think about for a moment. Christianity does preach revolution, but not world revolution. There's a difference. It's preaching a spiritual revolution. That is what Christianity is targeted at and is speaking to. Christianity does not preach physical violence. It preaches a spiritual violence. In other words, a disturbing. The battle is in the spiritual. Christianity does not teach destruction and death. That is not what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches spiritual conversion and life. Christianity does not destroy. Christianity seeks to build wherever it goes in any society. Christianity does not force itself. No, it's preaching freedom. Freedom for people. So the charge is false. The charge against Paul that he's coming in and doing all this tearing down and destruction and all this thing, no, that's not accurate. The Ephesians, actually, the citizens there had no need to fear. And Demetrius is the one actually sort of stirring up that fear. The temple, as idolatrous as it was, would not be destroyed by the Christian believers. Neither would citizens in the city be coerced to follow the way. Paul's not going to do that with them. So the choice was up to every person. No force whatsoever was involved. All Paul and the believers wanted was the right for free speech, the right to proclaim that God is. That's what Paul would have been wanting to proclaim. And that God is love. He would have been wanting to proclaim that. That God has revealed his Son in Jesus Christ to the world. And that God now invites men and women, everyone, to love his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love each other. That would have been a part of the message that Paul would have been communicating. And then put away all these idols. That would have been in there. He would have been advocating that. Put every evil thing that is hurting you and that is hurting other people based on the truth of the gospel, put it aside. You see, the way of Christ, I think this is good for us to think about. The way of Christianity, the way of the Word of God, is the best way for every society. Please understand that. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that the gospel is going to work in very similar fashion. Well, the word better, it's going to make things, I think, better in some ways. It's not totally, we could take this case by case, but what I'm saying is you go to preach the gospel in any nation today, and it's going to build, not destroy. It's going to seek to bring life, accountability, justice, righteousness, good to a people rather than destruction or harm, or it's going to be more freedom rather than bondage, all of these kind of things we could talk about more in length. But I believe that the way of Christ, the way of the Word of God, is the best for every society. So righteousness, love, justice always help and build society. They never tear down and destroy society. So naturally, there may be some shock for a society to go through as it rids itself of evil professions and replaces them with good and healthy professions. There are things happening in our community, in our county, all the time that are evil. Some are in professional occupations and some are not. Some are just totally illegal, but they are professional in their own illegal way, occupations. And they need to be torn down. There needs to be a change there. Think of the results. Because I wanted to put this in my message because I think it's good to sort of awaken this in our thinking today. I'm concerned a little bit that we think that things are too far gone. You know, and that things can't change. But then I live in this other tension of holding up an expectation that may never happen. As far as I don't know when the Lord is going to return. And he did say, it's not going to get better and better, it's going to get worse and worse. Yeah, but so does that mean in our generation, we're just like, well, it's going to get worse and worse. So, you know, that doesn't make any sense. I'm alive, you're alive, God's word is alive, Christ is real, sin is alive, we've got some work to do. And so I think when the gospel and the word of God is able to penetrate in any culture, in any society, it's going to make an impact. And I want to live in that tension. I want to seek to advance the kingdom of God, the cause of Christ on the earth, not sit passively by and sort of see what happens and say, oh, well, you know, I knew this was going to happen. No, get involved. Think of the results of the power of the gospel at work in a community. The lives that are saved. The destruction of people's bodies that are prevented. And I'm going off of this text as I say these things. The crumbling families that would be united. The enslaved bodies that are then delivered as a result of the gospel. On and on we could go. Think of the health and the strength of a society with no evil professions and little greed in it. A society with neighbors actually living for the welfare and love of each other. We're a long ways off. As a society, what has happened to us? You know, and so I think the church has an incredible opportunity right now to totally be countercultural and see a spiritual revolution take place in the lives of people. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it's overthrown. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 16:12 says, it is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Proverbs 25:5, take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Isaiah 32:16, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. One last one from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54:14. In righteousness, you shall be established. It's very important. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And you'll be far from terror, for it shall not come near you. This is when a nation is turned to God. Now, the church, I believe, is the conscience to the nation. So we must turn the nation. Does that make sense to us? I don't know if I'm saying it the best way, but if we're the conscience to the nation, then the nation needs to be informed of its condition. And we ought not to be drinking a lie that it's something different than what it is. My God, I'm starting to think about a lot of things just boiling up inside of me. I got to stick to my notes. Well, I'm just thinking about the Great Awakening. I'm thinking about Jonathan Edwards. I mean, why did he have to preach a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? See, we've gotten to the point where we think, oh, that's horrible to say. You don't know what it was like in his day. and what the people's condition had gotten to, that that is where they were at, as far as if they were to meet God, they would experience his wrath. And so he preached a sermon, sinners in the hands of an angry God, and people clawed at the seat in front of them for salvation. They actually know that. They actually record that. They know that. It's a different, all I'm trying to say right now is, as the conscience to the nation, let's be honest in our evaluation of its condition, and let's be willing to take the message that we know, the kingdom resources that we have, and seek to disturb it with the gospel. Disturb it with the truth of the word of God. All right, here's the fourth reaction. This time it's from the Christians. This time it's from the believers. The way, that is the way of the Lord, it requires two things. I want you to get this: courage and wisdom. Courage and wisdom. I don't want you to leave here today going, yeah, yeah, I do want you to leave here today doing that, but with a little bit of wisdom along with it, okay? Look at this in verse 30. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, notice that Paul, seeing Gaius and Aristarchus, his ministry partners, being almost torn apart by this mob, you know, he sees what's going on. He wants to go in there. Notice that. That's courageous. He wants to go in there, but his disciples, other people, would not let him. And even some of the Assyriarchs, that is, these high-ranking officers of the province of Asia, they were actually friends of Paul's. They actually sent to him, either by writing really quick or someone sending a messenger and saying, Paul, don't you dare venture in to that theater. See, that's Paul. Paul's got courage. And he sees other brothers being persecuted for Christ, and he's wanting to get in there and get alongside of them. These other believers had naturally heard the uproar that the whole city was filled with this confusion, and they are caught up in this riot. And when Paul discovers, man, I've got two of my guys in there, he's courageous to rush in and try to save them. Now, some of those officials say, don't do it, right? Here's what I want us to learn from this. We all need the courage to rush to the aid of God's people when they are being ridiculed, abused, and persecuted for their faith. Again, the culture has infiltrated the church. We see someone getting fried, and even though they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, we don't want to touch it because we're afraid that the heat's going to get pointed then at us, and I don't want that. That'll disturb my life. And we're so selfish with our own, just keeping ourselves safe. Paul's not doing that. He has courage when he sees his ministry partners, his brothers in the Lord being persecuted. Man, he wants to come alongside of them. Too often when a fellow believer is under attack, we're too quiet, fearing lest we also would be turned against. The scene, you could picture it in your life, you know, it might be at work. You got another believer there and you see what happens to him or her. Could be at school, another student that you see experiencing persecution in some way from other students or a teacher, or could be in your neighborhood. Could be just a host of places where we experience that. But no matter where, we must take a stand by the side of those who are being abused for Christ.
If you're enjoying this edition of Truth That Transforms, we'd like you to share it with friends and family. Pastor Bo's messages can be found on our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. But you can also subscribe, like, and share these via podcast. When you subscribe, you'll always be alerted when new content is made available. It's easy, accessible, and convenient to share with those you know. Again, make sure to subscribe. Truth That Transforms is based out of Melbourne, Florida. If you're ever in the area for work or vacation, we'd love for you to join us for community and fellowship. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. Pastor Bo has more to share at that time, and it would be such a blessing to hear about your story and get to know you, helping get you connected. If you have children, we have opportunities for them as well. There's a youth midweek service at 6:30 on Wednesdays. Get them involved and plugged in too. To learn more about our ministry and who we are, we invite you to go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Pastor Bo will be back again next time, reinforcing more truths about God and how our relationship with Him and His Word is of utmost importance in impacting those we relate to in the world. Perspective is key, right? If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 321-676-8992. That's 321-676-8992. Thanks for listening to this edition, and come back for more from Truth That Transforms.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Shout your praise.